Disciples of Christ, Monday Manna Bible Study. We are here to be fed on the Word of God. Amen. And we are waiting on Y-O, capital U.
And we're excited about this day for, this is the, what is this, the 18th day?
Yeah.
Of September. And we're looking forward to what God is going to do, even as we prepare to close out this month. But he's already done great things wherewith we are glad. And so we yet give him praise. Somebody let us know that you're getting a clear signal and that the sound is coming in okay as we prepare for this time together. And we're certainly grateful that Lady Kim made it back to the city safe and sound on yesterday. And her and our two daughters had an opportunity to travel on down to Dallas. She'll probably tell us a little bit about that experience as we move through this time together. But we're going to be looking at 2 Chronicles, the 15th and the 16th chapter tonight. We're a little bit behind, and so we're going to try to play a little catch up. And even if we just have to read it, Lady Kim, and not if we don't get to all of it, then we'll go ahead with what we have and allow that to be a starting point for us on next week. Is that okay?
That's fine.
All right. Well, let's have prayer as we prepare. Somebody let us know we're getting a clear signal and that you can hear us well. But let's have prayer. Father, we bless you and we honor you and we thank you for this day. We do thank you for our lives and for your Spirit's abiding presence. We're certainly grateful for how you continue to bless us even in spite of ourselves, how you constantly look beyond our faults and get right to our needs. So we love you tonight. We honor you. We thank you for this time of study that you have allowed us to pause and to just reflect on your word. And so now, God, we pray for each person that's going to be attached to this particular study, those who will hear this study later. And we ask your choicest blessings to be upon us as we engage in this word, because you've already decreed that your word will not return unto you void. And so we know that something powerful is going to happen tonight. So we love you and we honor you and we thank you now for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Somebody give God a thumbs up there so we can know that you're with us. Did you get anybody saying they had a clear signal coming through,
yes,
Lady Kim?
From the other side, the
streaming side.
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Sister Giselle said it sounds good.
Okay, all right. Well, we praise God for each of you. Of course, Lady Kim was out on yesterday, and did you get a chance to hear the thunderous roar?
Absolutely, all the way
that you
down.
Were, when I mentioned that you were out, and I had them turn the camera so they could hear, so you could hear them and see the people.
Absolutely.
Okay, all right.
We were listening and we were looking.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it was a powerful time in the Lord. I hope you had your notes out and you were taking some notes. Because, you know, you know, just because you're not there doesn't limit the fact that you can still, you know, participate and take notes.
Well,
did
I
you
was,
put your money in the offering, too? That's what I need to
know. Packing my clothes as I was listening.
Oh,
so
okay.
I did not have my notepad out.
Uh-oh.
But guess what?
What?
I have a pretty good memory on this one.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's an easy story to kind of remember. You know, some stories are a little more difficult, but Blind Bartimaeus is an easy story to kind of recall.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, it was really the close out of our summer series. Summer comes to an end when? This week?
Saturday.
Saturday
at 1:30 a.m.
Okay.
It'll be officially fall.
Okay.
First
That's my time
fall.
Of the year, fall. I know many people have their picks, but I love the fall, and I you know, I don't have to categorize them or put them in any kind of order, but fall just agrees with me. It's not too hot, not too cold. I love summer too, but fall is probably my best season of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, tell us a little bit about what you heard, Lady Kim, since you are familiar with this story of Blind Bartimaeus and the title of the message, I think you have all of that information there. And whatever you don't get to, I'll try to fill in the gaps.
Okay.
But let's do this first. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your experience, if there's anything you need that we need to be aware of, and how did that go in the Woman Evolve conference? Is
Amen.
That right?
That's
in
right.
Dallas? Tell us a little bit about
Amen.
That.
Well, first of all, I just want to thank God for our daughters.
Okay.
For Tiffany and Tierra. The reason I went to Woman Evolve is because Tierra's birthday is this coming Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And she always tries to do something special for her birthday. And this year she said, I want to go to Woman Evolve.
Okay.
And that made my heart glad.
That's good.
That she wanted to go have a spiritual experience, a closer encounter with God for her birthday as a birthday trip.
Okay.
And so I was elated to be invited, amen, to go along with the young people because, you know, they go off with their friends and do their thing. So she didn't have to invite me, but I was invited to go along. And we had a wonderful time, she and Tiffany and myself and her best friend, Jasmine.
So
it was exciting. Yes, we did evolve, and we also dissolved because it poured down rain, and we had to walk a long way in the rain. Not one day, but 2 days.
Wow.
So first we dissolved, and then we evolved.
And how many people were they
estimated? There were 40,000 women at Woman Evolve.
What?
40,000. She said it started out at the Potter's House. The last time they did it, they had 3,000 women. And she said that, you know, the Lord told her that, she needed a bigger venue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he could fill that space and how intimidated she was. And she said she even told her dad a few hours before the opening service. She said, Dad, what if nobody shows up? You know. And I'm telling you, 40,000 women praising God like never before. Man, that is some kind of energy in that room.
Did y'all have a good view and? How was your accommodation?
We had an excellent view. The thing about that is, I don't care what kind of ticket you have, you mm-hmm. got to get there really early.
Okay.
You know, to
get 40,000 people trying to get into one space.
Yes.
That could be challenging.
Yes. And then they had different seating arrangements, the inner circle, preferred seating, and friends.
Okay.
And then there's another one I don't remember, but we had preferred seating, which was seating on the floor. But like I said, you had to get there real early to get a seat up front. But our seats weren't bad.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a wonderful time in the Lord. The praise and worship was unbelievable. And I cannot wait until the song that they wrote, especially for this conference, comes out. On Time, God. That,
wow.
It was an amazing, and we sang it every time we had worship.
Okay.
We sang On Time, God Chandler Moore
mm-hmm.
was one of the lead soloist on that, and it was amazing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It sounds like you have been energized and refreshed mm-hmm. and renewed.
Yeah.
And we're glad that you were able to spend that time with our daughters. And it was almost like a daughter mother trip mm-hmm. in a real sense.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's important in terms of relationships. And both of our daughters have really matured in the faith mm-hmm. and they are really stronger than what you might see. But they're in that word, and they know that word, and I don't try to push anybody to do anything unless I just decide I want to push them. But that's not the case with them, because naturally, if they flow into ministry, that would do my heart good. But it's no big deal. I just want to make sure and be clear that they're saved and they know the Lord,
rooted and grounded
in that word. And so, if by chance one of them decide that they want to,
pick up the mantle
that's
Sarah.
All well and good.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And even like with Georgia Rucker on Sunday, Lady Kim, I mean,
we saw that.
That was amazing. And see, she's already ministering and already leading. But when God convicts you, even if you're already in an established role or you're already doing ministry, that does not negate what God is trying to do in terms of the call that he places on your life.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So both of them are already engaged in ministry and involved. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't stop God from even calling them even further to do greater works for him. And so we're excited. And I was so excited to see George. I couldn't hardly believe it. I said, wow, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. And so I asked Brother Rucker after the service, was he going to be the... what was his position? He said, Pastor, whatever the Lord leads her to do, I'm a follower. Mm-hmm. So we're excited about that.
That's great. That's great. Yes. But it was an awesome time in the Lord in Dallas and an awesome time at ATOP on yesterday. And we thank God for both experiences.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Tell us a little bit about, you can just kind of skim through that particular message if something that you see that you can want to expound on, then feel free to do that.
Well, your title was Break Out of Your Rut and Win the Day. Mm-hmm. And you talked about the blind Bartimaeus, mm-hmm. The blind man, as the Jesus and the disciples were leaving Jericho.
Okay.
They, a large crowd followed them. And there was a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, and when he heard that it was Jesus, then he cried out and said, Jesus, Son of Nazareth, have mercy on me. Mm-hmm. And the people around him tried to quiet him,
okay,
and stop him from crying out, but Jesus stood still.
Wow.
And he said, no, let him come to me. Mm-hmm. Let him come to me. And Bartimaeus went to Jesus, and Jesus asked him, what did he want him to do for him? And he said that he wanted to have his sight. And Jesus told him, go, for your faith has healed you. And wow, instantly he could see. Hmm. And man, I'm telling you, and you had some points that, you have to assume responsibility for your own life. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think that was your first point.
Right.
And that, Bartimaeus, when he heard, see, he was blind, he couldn't see. When he heard that it was Jesus passing that way, he started to cry out. Mm-hmm. He assumed responsibility for his own self, his condition. And they kept telling him, man, be quiet.
Don't disturb him.
Hush. But he cried out even the more, the Bible says. And then when Jesus stood still and stopped and told him to come to me, now his friends were saying,
he's
calling you. Go see what he wants, man. Right. What you waiting on? Why you been sitting there so long? So you have to get beyond what other people say, too. Because at first they were saying, be quiet, don't yell out. And now when Jesus focuses in on him, now they're saying, get up and go.
Go see.
Yeah.
He's calling you.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so I think your other point was keep moving forward.
Keep moving
forward. No matter what, So no matter what others do or say, you have to keep moving forward. I like that they use this story of Jesus and the blind man, because we are not physically blind.
That's right.
But we're spiritually blind. Mm-hmm. But when the scales from our physical eyes fall off and we run into Jesus and we see Jesus, we have to cry out, Jesus, have mercy on me. Mm-hmm. Forgive me of all the things that I've done. Have mercy on me. Help me. Lead me in the path of righteousness. Mm-hmm. Help me to have a new life, a new walk, a new talk. And that's what Bartimaeus wanted. He wanted physical healing. Mm-hmm. But not only did he get physical healing, he got a spiritual healing.
Wow, that's amazing. And so that's a powerful message, because Bartimaeus, in a real sense, was stuck in a rut. And it didn't say how long he had been sitting by the side of the road asking for alms and begging from his position. And sometimes we can get so caught up in what we familiar with and what we are accustomed to, till we don't seek anything other than what our situation, gives us.
Right.
But Bartimaeus made a bold proclamation, and it's interesting that when Jesus called him to come forth, it nowhere in that scripture does it say somebody helped him up or somebody led him to Jesus, but he found his way. And so the message in that is that you can be in a situation, where it's almost like you doing wrong for so long till you think it's right. Mm-hmm. But when Jesus shows up and when Jesus passes by, and you know that your predicament and your situation is worthy of him, at least you giving him a chance to do something about what you're going through, then you'll not let nobody hinder you from getting to him. Mm-hmm. And so you have to assume that responsibility for your own life and be willing to take that leap of faith. Mm-hmm. Because he didn't say it was his shout. He didn't say it was his loud voice. Mm-hmm. That he said, no, your faith is what I'm looking at. Mm-hmm. You know, so Jesus looks at our faith. The Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So if you have the faith of a mustard seed, and that's for somebody on the call tonight, Lady Kim, then you have to really activate that, and you have to really put it in motion, because faith without works is dead. You've got to do something. And so I want to encourage you to really put your faith in motion and watch God. He's going to see your faith, and you can't have that kind of extraordinary faith without your heart being in it.
Amen.
Yeah.
The heart has to be in it.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yes, in order to move forward. And I think that's what it means by when he threw his coat off.
Mm-hmm.
You said you have to throw away the things that hinder you, that impede your motion.
Right.
You know, he threw that coat off to get to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to learn how to throw aside the weights and the sins that does so easily beset
us. That's
right.
That's right.
So that we can run this race with patience.
And blind Bartimaeus probably was singing that song long before it came out. Pass me not, O gentle Savior.
Yeah.
Hear my humble cry, while on others thou art calling. Do not pass me by. Is that the way it goes?
If that's it.
Do not pass me by. And so that's a call for and a challenge for somebody, anybody who would heed the voice of God and activate your faith. And you're stuck in a rut. But I'm telling you can get out of your rut and you can win the day. And I know this series is closed out, but you can still keep on winning if you follow that prescription that we laid out. Assume responsibility for your own life. Don't allow other people to hold you back or to influence you in such a way that you're listening more to the crowd than you are listening to the voice of God. And your predicament and the circumstance that you're in is not beyond God doing something powerful in your life. It makes no difference how long you've been in it.
Amen.
How long it's been going on. Because I'm sure Bartimaeus was really going through long before Jesus came that way.
That's right.
And so
right.
He probably was a full grown man, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of us are full grown and we're still holding on to stuff that God wants us to release. And that's why many times we can't win the day, Lady Kim, because we want to assume responsibility. We're afraid of what other people are going to say. And as I said yesterday, you need to just, if it's somebody trying to hinder or impede you, you say, listen, you better get out of my way, because I feel a move of God. And if you don't get out of my way, I'm going to run you over. Somebody ought to say amen.
Amen.
So,
amen. Yes.
Anything else you need to add to that as we prepare to move forward?
Well, it was just an awesome word.
Okay.
Amen.
And the Lord added to the church.
Yes, he did.
It was amazing.
Awesome.
So, and we had some other people who were over in children's church that also, I think it was two kids that wanted to be baptized. The young lady that joined, her daughter was over there. And then Travis, he came forth, Griffin Sr., and he wanted to be a part of the church. And then a couple of people rededicated. And then the lady who had been coming, saying she was seeking a church, she was not, I don't know if they put the camera over there for y'all to see her.
No, we didn't. I couldn't see her.
But she was sitting over where Brother Rucker normally sits on mm-hmm. that in that section over mm-hmm. there. And so I tell you. And then To top it all off, Lady Kim, we had a wedding, you know, after church on yesterday. Justice Knox and his fiance now, his wife, Erica, they were there, and the whole wedding party was present. And so it was probably about 15 people. Mm. And so...
And they didn't win the prize.
Huh? No. Okay. No. Some of them may have come in just for the wedding.
Okay, I see.
No, they didn't win it. They were not... I don't think they were even privy to it because Justice could have easily won that, you know. Because we called them down for prayer, he and Erica. But Vivian Ford's daughter... she was a part of that group, and she said after when we was getting ready for the ceremony, she said, "Pastor, I really want to join and be a part of ATOP."
Wow!
And so I said, "Well, you know, you don't have to wait until next Sunday now. You know, I said we can do that right now."
Amen.
And she said, "Okay." A lot of times people say, "Well, no,
I'll wait.
I'm gonna come back next Sunday and I'll join then." She said, "Okay." So Dr. Qualise was there, and she helped and assist with the wedding and helping the family, you know, get situated and everything, did an excellent job. And so sure enough, Lady Kim, we went ahead and accepted her confession of faith. And I tell you, it was an exciting time. And so in addition to the ones that joined in service, she became a member of the church as well, even after the wedding ceremony. And so Dr. Qualise has all of that information, but that's an exciting time that we had in the Lord. And many people invited people to come. I think Pastor Dana Walker was the winner of the most people. And it was close, you know, because we had 5, 6, you know, 3, 4 like that. So we gave out, I believe, 4 gifts on yesterday, and we hope and pray that some of the seeds that were planted, that perhaps someone would just feel a need to come back and be a part of what God is doing in the body of Christ called Anointed Temple of Praise.
Amen.
All right. Any comments there we need to share?
Just agreement with what happened on yesterday, with a lot of hallelujahs, amens, and yes, he did.
All right. So we're in 2 Chronicles, the 15th chapter, and we're also going to read the 16th chapter, and we'll see how far we get with all of that. But they are relatively short chapters, isn't that correct?
Yes.
And I think the 15th chapter looks like it has about 19 verses.
Mm-hmm.
And the 16th chapter, it looks like it's about...
I think it's even less.
13 verses there.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is really a continuation of our conversation that we had on last week with Asa. He became king.
Mm-hmm.
And he started out, Lady Kim, on fire with all kind of excitement, and his commitment to God and his willingness to go back to the old way of Solomon and bring that fire and David, when David first started out, in their commitment and their dedication to God. We know that David was, of course, a man after God's own heart. And so he set everything in motion for his son. But you'll see that part of what happens here is that David made some terrible mistakes. Even after he had initially started out, Solomon, the wealthiest man to ever live, according to what we read, he started out on fire, and then he made some terrible mistakes at the close of his ministry. His son, was it Jeroboam or Rehoboam?
I think it's Jeroboam. I get them mixed up.
Mm-hmm.
I had to go back and look.
Took the reins after his death. And he started out okay, but when it came to making the decisions that were necessary in order to push the ministry forward, or the not so much the ministry, but the advancement of the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
He decided to listen to those, his peers, and not and he rejected wise counsel from those whom his dad had set in place. Mm-hmm. And he had observed all of the things that Solomon had did while he was king. And he had a bird's eye view, if you will, of what it took in order to run the kingdom. But he went off, and then that's when the kingdom was split, divided kingdom, as a result of his decisions and the bad decisions that he made and not listening to wise counsel. And then here we see Asa coming on behind Rehoboam, I believe it was.
Rehoboam. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And then he starts out trying to go back to the old landmark. He said, no, we're going to do this thing right. We know what God wants and what God requires. And so we're going to set the standard and set the tone by prayer and obedience to God. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says, it was interesting, Lady Kim, as we talked last week, that God honored him and he blessed him. And there was rest in the kingdom,
peace.
Even though peace
mm-hmm.
in the kingdom
yes.
for so many years. Mm-hmm. No wars, no fighting. They were just they were managing and doing what they needed to do. He was bringing people in. He was clearing the deck of all of the idols and mm-hmm. all of the idol worship and making sure that everything that he did was representative of what God would require of him. And so we'll find out as we read these chapters that another turn happens in terms of him losing his grip in terms of what God had called him to do.
Amen.
And so he kind of goes off the scene here in this particular 15th chapter, I believe. And then another king comes on board.
Okay.
That's just a general recap of what we have experienced leading up. And so 14, 15, 16, 17 all kind of ties in together.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you want to add to that as we prepare to read chapter 15?
No, you summed it up well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's look at chapter 15 of 2 Chronicles tonight. Those of you who have your instruments or your Bibles, and Lady Kim is going to read. I believe there's about 19 verses there. And then we'll come back and just kind of highlight a few things.
Amen. 2 Chronicles 15 and 1. Now the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa and said to him, hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For a long time, Israel has been without a true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. But when in their trouble they turned to the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found by them. And in those times there was no peace to the one who went out, nor to the one who came in. But great turmoil was on all the inhabitants of the land.
Mm-hmm.
So nation was destroyed by nation and city by city, for God troubled them with every adversity. But you be strong and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded, the prophet, he took courage and removed the abominable idols from all the land of Judah and Benjamin and from the cities which he had taken in the mountains of Ephraim. And he restored the altar of the Lord that was before the vestibule of the Lord. Then he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and those who dwelt with them from Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon. For they came over to him in great numbers from Israel when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. So they gathered together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered to the Lord at that time 700 bulls and 7,000 sheep from the spoil they had brought.
Wow.
Then they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord of their fathers with all their heart and all their soul. And whoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel was to be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. Then they took an oath before the Lord, with a loud voice, with shouting and trumpets and ram's horns. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with all their soul. And he was found by them, and the Lord gave them rest all around.
Wow.
Also, he removed Micaiah, the mother of Asa, the king, from being queen mother, because she had made an obscene image of Asherah. And Asa cut her obscene image, then crushed and burned it by the brook Kidron. But the high places were not removed from Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was loyal all his days. He also brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated and that he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and utensils. And there was no war until the 35th year of the reign of Asa.
Wow. Isn't that powerful? So the prophet came in and told Asa that if you follow God, God's going to follow you.
That's right.
If you're obedient to the word, then God's going to bless you.
Amen.
I'm just paraphrasing that part of it.
Yes.
But in essence, he said, now, if you do this thing right, God's going to honor you and you won't have to worry about anything. So just follow his mandate, be in a covenant agreement in which they did. And God is going to establish himself among the people. And you're going to be tremendously blessed. And so Asa went about doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And,
amen.
Even his, what was it, his mother-in-law?
I think it was the grandmother.
And he took down all the obscene images that she had put up. And I'm sure that caused a stir and uproar. Because a lot of people were still trying to worship gods with a little g during that particular period of time. But Asa had his mind made up and his heart was set to please God. And as a result of that, this chapter shows us how God blessed him because he honored him.
Amen. And he also took away her crown. Mm-hmm. He took away her authority because he said that there would be no idol worship, and she still had an idol constructed in one of the groves. I think that was his grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And so he took away her queendom.
Queendomship.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Queenship or whatever. But he had the authority to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was interesting that, you know, in this very first verse, it talked about Azariah, the son of Oded.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a lesser known prophet in the early years of the kingdom of Judah. And he came and he barely spoke a word to the king. But you, like you said, he said, hey, if you with God, God
gonna
be with
you. With you. That's right.
If you not with God, God's not gonna be.
Count
I feel
it.
A song in that.
Uh-oh.
Can you feel a song?
Say that again.
If you be with God, God will be with you. You know, they make these songs now. It only had two or three words to it. I got to get a good beat.
You got a melody?
I
got to
get a good beat going or whatever. And then repeat
that
over and over and over again. Yeah. I need to write me a song on that.
Okay. That might get us out of the low place and take us higher.
I know, right? But it only takes a word.
That's right.
It only takes a word and obedience to that word. And to carry you to the high place.
Okay.
Amen.
And so this chapter really ends on a strong note. Because that last verse in there, it indicates that there was no war until 35th year of the reign of Asa.
Right.
And so he was walking in obedience, and he was minding the things of God and honoring God in a powerful and a mighty way. So what would you say would be a kind of a lesson recap that we can put on that 15th chapter, and then we'll read the 16th chapter and see what God is saying.
Well, one of the things that jumps out really is that, you know, the Lord is with you when you're with him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And don't give up.
That's right.
You know, the people made a covenant to seek the Lord, and they sought the Lord,
mm-hmm.
and God was with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when you make a covenant with God, a covenant is an agreement.
That's right.
It's a binding agreement. It's a contract.
Right.
Well, it's more than a contract.
It's more than a contract.
You know, you So it's an agreement. Mm-hmm. So when you make an agreement with God, you know, if you keep your agreement and you stick with him, he will be with you no matter what.
Okay. A covenant, probably, if you would look at it in relationship to a contract, covenant is a spiritual agreement between God and whoever that the party might be. Mm-hmm. Where in a contract, you know, it's a more of a legal document. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when, particularly when people marry, they are more interested in contractual relationships than they are in covenant relationships. And so the couple that we married on yesterday was, that was part of what I shared with them, even in counsel, that God requires covenant. And so don't get caught up in the contractual. But if you tie the covenant in the spiritual application, this young man, Justice, he was probably one of the first people I baptized when mm-hmm. we were still in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, it just did my heart good to see how he's matured and how he's grown. He was a little fella, too.
He was a little boy, a real little boy when A-Top first started. Mm-hmm, you mm-hmm. know, he's about, what, seven?
Yeah.
About 6 or 7 years
right,
old.
Right.
A-Top's been around for 23 years. Mm-hmm, so, mm-hmm. yes, Justice was one of those very first children that you baptized when the ministry first started. And to see him grow up mm-hmm, and mature and mm-hmm. now take on a wife
right.
It's very enlightening. It's very uplifting.
That's right. That's
yes.
right. So I would stress that covenant with them and so that they can understand. And I tell you, when she came down that aisle, Lady Kim, not to digress, both of them were just bawling. They were both in tears. By the time she got up there to me, they both were just going at it. You know? And so I was so excited. It was a great time. It's
Amen.
Small and intimate, and it was a great ceremony. But even as we close out this 15th chapter, Asa stressed that covenant, you know, and the people agreed, the people followed. It was not a contractual agreement, but it was a covenant that they had mm-hmm. established with God.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I hate again to digress, but mm-hmm. It was so important for them to get back to God.
That's right.
You know, because, like you said, it started out with David. David was a man after God's mm-hmm. own heart. David loved the Lord, and the Lord loved David. Mm-hmm. And David made grave mistakes,
right.
as all people do.
Right.
But David stuck with the Lord. And then it was transferred on to
Solomon.
Mm-hmm. And Solomon also, you know, followed the Lord. But made mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
But then his sons, when his sons started to take over, which were David's grandsons, and when the lineage began to go, they allowed idol worship come in.
Right.
You know, they started marrying women who from other tribes that mm-hmm. Worshipped idol gods, and
right.
they worshipped the god of the sun. They had a god for everything.
That's
the god
right.
of the sun, the god of the moon, the god of fertility, the
right.
god of this, the mm-hmm. god of the field, the god of the crops. You know, and so when that came along, it diluted what initially had been set up.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's where the breakdown was. But now here we get back to Asa,
mm-hmm,
and Asa brings things back to focus.
Okay.
You know, he was the one that was strong enough to get rid of all those idols
mm-hmm.
and forbid people or forbade people to worship idol gods. And because of this, the Lord was with them.
Okay. Now, we'll see, and you were right on point with your comments, Lady Kim, because one of the commentaries in one of the Bibles I have, it talks about the difficulty of finishing well. That can be a major sermon series right
yes.
there, because a lot of people have intentions of finishing well, mm-hmm. but a snag or a difficulty or listening to other people, mm-hmm. not following wise counsel
mm-hmm.
can cause them to not finish well. There can be a serious difficulty in terms of them trying to do what God require of them to do. And so and this is going to be a little bit ahead of what you're about to read, but it says that King Asa is one of many Old Testament kings who failed to finish well. Mm. He had great intentions. We just finished talking about that. He was doing everything right, because it says at the beginning of his time of leadership, he discovered the timeless principles. The Lord is with you when you are with him, what we just talked about. Immediately after the king learned this truth from the prophet, he initiated some sweeping national reforms. And after several years, and we're going to pick that up here coming up, however, he returned to his old leadership ways and the old leadership patterns. And he had men that came and gave him advice, and he was more willing to listen to men than he was to God. And so when God's prophet warned him against this pattern, he grew angry with the prophet, and he imprisoned the prophet, and he also oppressed some of the people of that time. And so when I'm going to stop right there, because we see that this chapter is going to lead to his demise and how he ends up at the end of this 16th chapter. And I think there are about
14 verses
there. And then we can come back and talk about some of the things that really led him to not finishing well, just like it is with us. I mean, we have to be mindful, and we have to be cautious. We have to be alert. We have to be, we have to have a spirit of discernment, because, you know, a lot of times people want to start out, you know, they start strong, but God is looking for finishers. And I believe we had a pastor from Flint come and share with us back in the day when we first got started. And that passage and that message still resonates, because he was talking about how God was looking for some finishers. And we were early on in our ministry then. And I tell you, it's amazing how some people start out on fire, but a little difficulty will come up, or don't agree with a decision, or something doesn't go the way they want it to go. And they can turn that corner so fast, though, before you know it, you know, they're walking out the door.
Amen.
But God is looking for people who are willing to start strong and finish strong.
Amen.
We need finishers at A-Top. And I praise God for how he's added to the church, and how the harvest we have been praying for. God is adding workers to the vineyard.
Yes, he is.
And see, people overlook that when things are going well, but this is no accident that people are joining, and some people going to join this Sunday coming up.
Hallelujah.
You know? And so we got to stay on the post. We got to stay in the middle of what God requires of us, and it won't be a surprise when visitors come or when people join. But you have to take the initiative as well. You can't rely upon the pastor to invite everybody and then you celebrate when they join. No, all of us have a charge to keep and a God to glorify. And if we all work together, I'm telling you, it's going to be a major situation in terms of what God will do at A-Top. But Lady Kim, go ahead and read that those verses in the 16th chapter, and then we'll see where it ends for us.
Amen. 16th chapter of 2 Chronicles, starting with verse 1. In the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah, that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa brought silver and gold from the treasuries of the house of the Lord and the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, who dwelt in Damascus, saying, "Let there be a treaty between you and me, as there was between my father and your father. See, I have sent you silver and gold. Come, break your treaty with Baasha, king of Israel, so that he will withdraw from me." So Ben-Hadad heeded King Asa and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel. They attacked Ijon, Dan, Abel-Maim, and all the storage cities of Naphtali. Now it happened when Baasha heard it that he stopped building Ramah and ceased his work. Then King Asa took all Judah And they carried away the stones and timber of Ramah, which Baasha had used for building. And with them he built Geba and Mizpah. Verse 7, and at the time Hanani the seer came to Asa king of Judah and said to him, because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. Wow. Where the Ethiopians and the Levim, not a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen, yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand.
That's right.
For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him.
Jesus.
In this you have done foolishly.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, from now on, you shall have wars.
Mm-hmm.
Then Asa was angry with the seer and put him in prison, for he was enraged at him because of this.
Right.
And Asa oppressed some of the people at that time. Note that the acts of Asa, first and last, are indeed written in the book of the king of Judah, in the kings of Judah and Israel. And in the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet.
Wow.
And his malady was severe. Yet in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians.
Mm.
So Asa rested with his fathers. He died in the 41st year of his reign. They buried him in his own tomb, which he had made for himself in the city of David. And they laid him in the bed, which was filled with spices and various ingredients prepared in a mixture of ointments. They made a very great burning for him.
Wow. That's powerful, because, you know, it only takes one judgment call, one decision to turn the whole tide in terms of our faithfulness and our obedience to God.
Mm-hmm.
Listening to the wrong advice, similar to Jeroboam, and not following through. And he became angry with the prophet when he came to him and shared with him what he did. And as a result, he imprisoned him and some of the people,
mm-hmm,
and treated him real harsh. Because you see, when we close out the 15th chapter, it says that there was no war until the 35th year of his reign.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we look at the close of this chapter, we see that it was in the, I believe, it says the 40, where is it? It was in the 39th year of his reign when he became sick,
mm-hmm,
and he had a foot disease.
Mm-hmm.
So that's unusual, isn't it?
Yes.
And a lot of time when you're struck with illness and sickness, he decided that he was going to put his trust in the doctor.
Doctors.
Mm-hmm. And not even call upon the God that he had seen do marvelous works for him time and time again.
Amen. Amen. And so in the 41st year, he died. So mm-hmm, he had the disease for 2 years.
That's right.
And then he succumbed to it.
Mm-hmm. So he had already made his preparation, and he had already secured his place of rest. But that's a tough way to end after you go through all of that, and then you end up turning because of following wrong advice, mm-hmm, and not heeding to the voice of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we talked about earlier when we were looking at this particular, this is the Maxwell Leadership Bible, and the commentary on that has to do with the difficulty of finishing well. And it gives that comparison between David and Solomon. And then now we see Asa falling into that same predicament. It said Asa eventually died a hollow leader who failed to finish well. It says Asa stands with the majority who failed to finish well. Often the pattern of failure stems from secret sin in the leader's life, and many times not following through on the initial commitment with God.
Mm.
So that's a sad way to end, but I back to what we were saying earlier. We need to finish strong. Mm. You know, we don't need to be all excited and then we kind of fizzle out and not finish what God has given us, because Philippians says, I think it's 1 and 6, he who has begun a good work in you, he's well able to bring it to a flourishing finish. And so that doesn't mean it's not going to be any difficulty or any trials or tribulations along the way, but we have to endure. We have to remain steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so even if it gets to a place where you don't agree with something, it's not putting your trust in man, but it's continuing to be obedient to what God requires of you.
Amen. And so we have to stick and stay with the Lord, mm-hmm, you know, finish at all costs.
That's right.
You know, and like you said, the road is not always going to be easy, but we have to rely on the Lord. Amen.
Okay.
And so one of the things I guess we can take away from this is that, you know, to rely on the Lord.
Mm-hmm,
Asa became ill and he died, but wouldn't it be awesome if he had died doing what God had called him to do?
That's right.
Instead of listening to other people. Sometimes we can let other folks get in our ear.
That's right.
You know, and tell us all kind of, you know, stuff and pump us up. But we have to be careful when we listen to people who tell us what we want to hear.
Right.
And
right.
not the truth.
Right.
You know, and so we need to lean on, you got to have at least one person in your life that's going to tell you the truth.
That's right.
You know, that's
whether
a person.
Whether you like it or not.
Whether you like it or not. That
that's
person
a friend
is
right
not,
there.
That's a friend, you know, that's a friend to the end.
Mm-hmm.
And you might get mad at that person or whatever, but you need a person. Everybody needs a person in their life mm-hmm. like that.
Why are you looking all cross-eyed at me like that? What is that all about?
That's on you.
All
and
right.
you know I tell you the truth.
Absolutely.
And
you,
you
say whether they
me,
like it or not. Yeah.
You tell the truth too.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Well, Lady Kim, our time is getting away from us. You have a prayer request that you want to lift up, and we certainly hope that you all enjoyed these. We rushed a little bit through that 17th chapter, but I mean the 16th chapter, but it really, 15 and 16 was really tied right in together. Some short verses there, but we hate to see Asa not being able to finish strong and finish well. And, you know, as I indicated a few minutes ago, there's a difficulty that occurs, and it's all because the enemy is active and he's trying to hinder and prevent us from finishing well. And so you have to be mindful of that, because he comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
Amen.
And so anytime you have great momentum, anytime you are doing what's right, the enemy is going to try to come in and sow seeds of discord and try to throw you off track. And he'll have you speaking stuff that's really not of God, and it'll bring more confusion than it would bring completeness in terms of finishing.
Amen. Amen. Brother Norris had a good question. He said, where was his faith? We have to wait and remain mm-hmm. faithful.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Remain faithful to God.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Well, we do have some prayer requests tonight. If you have prayer requests, if you want to put them in the chat, then we will certainly lift those prayers up. Pray for all the social workers and case managers for mental health. You know, mental health is a real, it's at a crisis level in
That's
our
right.
communities, not just in Memphis, but all over our nation. So, yes, we need prayers for our social workers and mental health workers. Sister Mary is asking prayers for her cousins who lost their mom mm-hmm. and her uncle who is in ICU in Oklahoma.
Okay.
We lift them up to you right now. We want to lift up, of course, Sister Yolanda Cooper and her daughter, Portia Williams, as Portia is now in hospice care. We want to lift up Sister Antoinette Martin. She lost her brother. That funeral was on this past Saturday. We want to lift up Theron C. and Nora C. and their family and the loss of Theron's aunt. And that funeral was on yesterday, I believe. And we want to lift up Sister Amaya Hampton in the loss of her cousin. That funeral is this coming mm-hmm. Saturday, I believe. So continue to, and we want to lift up Ontarius Woodland also in the loss of his grandmother. Ontarius Woodland, Ontarius sings in the praise team from time to time. Mm-hmm. He's actually a student at Ole Miss, mm-hmm. But comes back to his home church and sings whenever he's available. And so we just thank God for him, but we want to lift up his family as well.
Okay.
And then I want to lift up a friend of mine, Sister Miss Rita Shelton, and her husband, Reverend Elmer Shelton. They lost their daughter to cancer on Sunday. So we want to lift them up in a mighty way.
Okay. All right.
Amen.
Any other things happening this week that we need to be mindful of?
Well, yes, we have the workshop for the Institute for Leadership Training that will take place this Saturday at the church at 10 o'clock a.m. And then those who are traveling to the Tennessee Regional Women's One-Day Retreat this Saturday, we will leave the church at 6 a.m. You have to be there at 5:45 so we can load up, and we will be pulling away from the church at 6 o'clock a.m. And so thank you for those who are traveling with us for that one-day retreat. You'll get to see the beautiful campground there in Kingston Springs, Tennessee. And we just thank God for and pray for traveling grace and mercy.
Okay.
We want to pray for Michael Massey's dad and uncle in Jackson, Tennessee.
Wow.
They're hospitalized there. We will be lifting them up, Brother Michael. Amen.
Okay. All right. Well, Lady Kim, will you close us out then with a word of prayer?
Yes. God, we thank you tonight for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. We lift up every name, every prayer request that has been called tonight, God. We lift up the uncle and the father of Brother Michael Massey. We ask God for healing, grace, and favor to be with them. God, we pray for the co-workers of Minister Loretta Perkins, the family members who have cancer. We know
yes,
you can
God.
Heal,
yes,
God, that God. You are a healer, but
thank you
heal in different ways. So whatever way you see fit to heal them right now, God, in the name of Jesus. We pray for the C family and the loss of that aunt, God. Comfort and keep them today, God. God, we pray for recovery of Sister Mary's cousin in the loss of that mom and her uncle who is in ICU in Oklahoma.
Thank you, God.
We thank you for her cousins, oh God. We ask that you would give them the peace that surpasseth all understanding. But we pray, oh God, for recovery for her uncle right now in the name of Jesus.
Yes, God.
And God, we pray for all the social workers and the case managers and the mental health workers, oh God, as they go about their daily work. We ask that they begin to help minister to many, God, as people struggle with mental health issues. We thank you, oh God, for all that you've done in our lives. We thank you for traveling grace and mercy. We thank you, oh God, for Anointed Temple of Praise and what you're doing in the life of our church. God, we ask that you would give us all finishing power.
Thank you, God.
Make us finishers,
hallelujah.
Oh God.
Hallelujah.
Make us producers, oh
yes,
God.
Yes, God.
Allow us to be all that you would have us to be. And we thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. Continue to watch over and keep us, oh God. Continue to keep your hand of grace and mercy upon us, oh God. And God, we thank you that by your stripes, all those who are sick are healed.
Healed. We
right thank
now.
You, oh God, that all those who are bereaved, you're giving them the peace that surpasses
yes,
all
God.
Understanding. And we thank you and we bless you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And praise God.
All right. Good night, everybody. Thank you for joining Bible study.
Great time
Bye.
Tonight. Hope to see you soon. Be blessed.